want to, first of all, acknowledge that we're on class 11.
Woohoo!
Oh, bummer.
Wow, where did the time go? And really find out how you did with your extreme actions. I know Judy shared where you were, and I've heard from some of you, but what was it like? What'd you do? What was new? Burning learnings.
Well, this is Maura. You know what was fun about mine? I was going to talk to people about getting a manager and just take some kind of step towards getting a manager. Then I think I said in my email, I never had to get to that. Like, two really cool opportunities to get a manager. One came to me on the internet, and one, a company called Smart Girls that meets with you, talks to you, evaluates what kind of manager you might want to go with, and counsels you. They sent me a postcard. It just felt good to work with them. And it was just, like, interesting because, like, it kind of came to me.
Yes.
And that was so fun because I went, oh, this feels good. And it's like everything else. It shows up in a really fun, unexpected way.
It's a wonderful thing when it's like that. The same thing happened with Andrea, right?
Well, this is Pat, and one of my extreme inspired actions is to get that greenhouse really stocked. And what that meant was I had to move forward with my lighting system, which I've been kind of fooling around with what I want to do, so now I know exactly what I want to do. And I've written my grower, and I'm going to order when I come back from Christmas, which is the 25th of March, of course. And, and I ordered that, write an e-book in 7 days, and I started reading that 20 pages at a time. That's the way I want to read it. And I have been doing some writing. But the big surprise to me was I jumped my walking program, which was just kind of a nice idea. But for some reason, and I can't even remember what happened, it became not just a nice idea, but a great idea and a commitment. So that was kind of cool. I didn't know I was going to do that.
That sometimes happens.
Yeah. And this morning I've been walking the street yelling for my cat, and I thought, isn't this weird? Even he's involved in this jump-starting the walking. Funny.
Have a cat that's gone AWOL on you? Is that the
story? Yes, he's gone AWOL, but he shall return, I say.
Mm. Of course.
Mm.
A lot of times you just got to stop looking for them. As we're talking to each of you, last week was about taking that extreme action, which some of you didn't like the word extreme, which is fun, just fun.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We won't let it rain on our parade. But sometimes...
These guys are so nuts.
Anyway.
The only people I know at 10 o'clock in the morning is as crazy as I am.
This is our somber time.
We have the giggles today.
Sometimes, you know, the extreme action, you don't plan it. It just happens, and you leap, and you say, okay. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel extreme. It just makes an extreme result or results in extreme joy, or it feels so good after you do it. Like, I was just thinking, a lot of times people get backed up when we do that exercise, you know, about what your extreme, just the whole question, oh, my gosh, I got to do something big, big, big. And some people love the chance because it's inspiring. When you resist it, sometimes it just might be the way it's perceived. That means I have to do something where I'm going to have butterflies in my stomach that aren't aligned, or it gets all, oh, the stress of doing something big, or there's no clarity about what the extreme inspired action would be. I want to say if you just intend for an extreme inspired action, it will usually clunk you on your head.
And what if you forget what your extreme inspired action was? What does that mean?
That means that you need to intend for clarity.
Or write things down.
So does anybody else want to talk about, you know, extreme inspired action, your reaction to it, or did it give you permission, or did you get any results?
You know, hearing that, it reminds me, what comes to my mind is extreme inspired result.
Mm.
Yeah. Love it.
You know, many times a decision is the big inspired action. You're saying yes to something. Even if you're saying no to something else, the only reason you say no is so that you can say yes to something that you want more or would be more enjoyable. So sometimes it's just saying yes, like, you know, I've been saying I want that, I'm ready. You may not even take a step, because the step might not be revealed yet. but it's saying yes sometimes can be the big extreme thing. It's like, you know what, I'm ready, universe, bring it.
You know what I noticed for me? I love the double dare and the extreme. I love that. But what I also noticed for me is that I often will say yes to something I know absolutely nothing about, which the next thing I have to do is then find out something. Which opens up a whole new world, and I love that. It's just that I never think about that before I do something. I just say, oh, I think I'll do this, and then it's time to research. What the hell is that thing?
This is Mary. So I don't remember what my extreme inspired action was. And
I think it was the e-book. You
at the
started
end of
e-book.
The call, I said, you know, I don't have mine. And so what was it?
You're the one that opened up the conversation about the e-book.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that
You might not have made one. I mean, because nothing's popping in my head at this moment.
I wasn't clear. And it, like we were, I'd talked a little bit but didn't really have it. And at the end of the call, I said, you know, I don't have one. And then I said something, but I really don't remember it. And let's see. So,
Mary, what about having your niece stay in your condo?
Oh, well, I'd already come up with that.
Okay.
Yeah, and we actually decided on something else, which is perfect. You know, the week has been really, really good, and what I have done, you know what, this is an extreme inspired action, is, you know, I'd had this conversation. First, I was inspired about doing a different line of recruiting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept, like, it didn't feel good, it didn't feel good, it didn't feel good. And so I've switched back to focusing on the consulting, and Best Year Yet has opened up as reopened as a great possibility. You know, my client has some referrals for me. He sent me a reference. I asked him for a testimonial. He sent me the best testimonial. I read it. It just lights me up. I really have done a great job for them, you know, and they're going to refer me to their people. So I guess my inspired action was to go with what feels good instead of what I think I ought to do.
Well, I want you all to do that one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Duly noted.
Great. I could tell you really wanted to be clear on which one you were going to do.
Yeah. Right.
Any other burning learnings or something that anybody wants to celebrate about extreme inspired action?
I have one more thing to say. You know, this happened for me once before, but I find that even though I'm not doing everything in our course, I'm doing the course. You know, it's happening for me, and I really love that.
So you mean it could have been a miss that you had to do it more completely, more intensely in order to be doing it right?
I think that's very possible.
Okay. Good noticing.
All good.
That's right. Well, it never really matters if you do it fully. Actually, none of that matters, because every single thing we give you, even the daily checkbook, the prosperity checkbook, it's just, they're all things for you to just get aligned. And if you're already aligned, then it doesn't matter what you do. And at the same time, we're promoting you and telling you the importance, because we know what works. But And then the other side of it is if things are already working or you're finding other ways to align, then you could just be here on the calls and have fun, and that's all you need. You're getting what you need somehow, some way.
Exactly. I second that.
Remember, there's a thousand ways and more for the how, or who you talk to, or who's the right person, or what's the right idea. As long as you're focused on the track and taking action and enjoying it and loving it, then it's going to come.
See, that is just the coolest thing, because it says that there is no wrong action.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, you'll still get exactly what you want, and it'll show up exactly how. I mean, it's just the coolest, coolest thing.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree.
And before you were saying that, the words that came to mind was, it's not about the how.
Yes, that's right. If you're setting your intent for having something and you're in action for it, even if you're saying, hey, I really want to. I'm going to make this up. The scenario is that I've decided I'm going to make 6 calls a day to people for whatever reason, that I think that's my means to the end. I'm in action. I'm holding to what I think that 6 calls a day. And let me tell you, the truth is making 6 calls a day isn't going to do it. But what it does do is it gets you in alignment with the thing that you're wanting, and something else will happen, which is what you're talking about. It's taking into action, and even though it's not the very specific thing that you started doing, the universe says, okay, she's ready, and rolls it out. Because I know a lot of people will get kind of bogged down with, well, how can I possibly make that kind of money if I'm only making 6 calls a day? This is just a scenario. You don't have to make 6 calls. I'm just using that as an example. I'm just thinking of a client of mine who's in sales. Only 6 calls a day, really? Well, guess what? Out of the blue, one of those calls made a connection to a whole entire company that had him in. So you're right. If you thought about it as just those 6 calls a day, that would never do it. But just the fact that you're focused on what you want and you're willing to take the action from a place of connection, who cares? You know?
Right.
Who cares if I did 6 calls and it came from something else? Kind of like money. Who cares where the money comes from?
Absolutely.
Now, we say we want the money to come from our clients, but really? Would you turn it down if it came another way? I don't think so.
Correct.
It's cool. Very cool, the way the universe works.
So does anybody have any, I don't know, any stuff coming up at all or any resistance or questions? Since we're in week 11, sometimes people get in a space like, oh my gosh, next week's the last week and I did not manifest all 3 of my intentions. Oh dear. Anybody have any of that going on?
What I remember you guys saying is, you didn't say this word, but it basically the summary is, it's not manifested yet.
Exactly.
You said, if you say, I'm going to do this by this, you might not get all the way there, but it's in process.
True. It's what I call the self-inflicted deadlines. The deadlines are ones we claim, but so what if it comes a little later? Do I really care? I know.
It always makes me happy to see, I know it's a satisfied customer. I know they've gotten to the place where even I have intended people to get through the class. Like, do we want you to manifest everything on your desire list? Yes. But even more importantly than that is when we send out our feedback sheet at the end of this class to all of you, we ask, how do you feel about the goals that you manifested or didn't? And they might say, I manifested 1 or 2, and I'm okay about the 3rd one because I know it's coming. And when I say that, I just feel, okay, satisfied, great, because that's all we really need. It's not really, the point isn't to get you all 3 of the manifestations. It's to get you aligned with those such that you start believing that you can have anything you want, and you will.
Know how to do it. You've got the tools, and you've got the understanding now, so that's the most important thing of all.
I have a different assessment question for you.
Oh, good.
Do you feel good?
How do you feel?
That's what I get from all this, is that's what it's about. And that's, Abraham has a great saying about that. I don't recall what it is at the moment, but that's really what it's about. It's just about feeling good.
Nothing matters more than we feel good.
Oh, that's it.
You know, and for me, there's such a bigger conversation than the manifestation of whatever things I think I'm after or whatever those, 3 issues I pulled out of some big bag. And that's exactly what you guys are talking about. And it's almost like I did a class one time with kids. We made drums, and they think that the purpose of the class was to make the drums, and that's not what the purpose of the class was. But they did it because they did the drums, and I had a bigger conversation that I wanted them to have. And so I'm feeling like it's the same kind of thing, like you guys said, oh, pick 3 things. And it was a trek. That bigger conversation, that shift of where I'm looking and where I'm thinking and where I'm living is much bigger than the actual manifestation. Another thing showed up that I'd never had a thought about, I don't think.
So this is a really enlightened group. No stuff, no resistance.
Well, there must be somebody. There must be somebody.
Yeah. I mean, come on, have one breakdown in the class.
Just kidding.
Well, there's Judy doesn't like to be told. But
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Now, I'm still here.
So this is a great place for you to all be in, because I'm going to go back to the metaphor that Maura had today, like the cat curled up in the windowsill. Which is totally relaxed. You know, whenever I see that, or cats in general, you just look at them and they exude either confidence or pure relaxation. That's where we're at this week. Week 11.
Would you let the cat out so he can come back home, please?
The cat is on its way. The cat is doing its own journey. It's only your perception that it's lost.
Okay. There's a bigger world than I know about. That's the thing.
So, go ahead.
With my non-extreme actions, I had to get rid of the extreme because that was where I was hitting the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, how is one phone call extreme? It just didn't seem like it was big enough. But I certainly understand what you're saying in the sense that just being clear about what you're asking for, making one action, one simple action that you feel good about, then sort of sets up a whole series of events because you are in that more allowing place. So I really enjoyed that because it's just amazing once I got rid of that resistance around extreme and it's like boom, 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 these are the things that I really want to do. So thank you very much.
Thank yourself for not listening to us and honoring the wishes. So talking about extreme, last week was about extreme inspired action, and this week is about doing nothing.
I'll look at that.
Pendulum swings.
And we do this class last, before our very last class, because we figure all of you are come in just all geared up and ready to do all these things and ready to learn and try new things and give me all you got, Jean and Eva. And now it's time to seriously take a step into 100% surrender. Surrender into all that is. And I don't mean like give up, wave the white flag, surrender. I mean surrender as in I consciously choose to just surrender into what is. I let myself sink into a beanbag, completely chill out, and allow myself to receive with knowing I don't have to do anything. There is nothing for me to do except whatever I find myself doing. It's the thing that I should be doing. That's all there is. And if I do nothing, then that's okay too. I don't have to do any exercises. I don't have to try really hard. I don't have to give all my attention to the thing that I say that I want. I don't have to take inspired action unless it just comes and I find myself doing it. There's nothing to do.
We don't have to make up all the exercises we didn't do during the previous part of the course.
Only if you want to.
Or the classes, for that matter.
This is where you get to throw everything out. We've given you all this stuff so we can tell you to throw it out now.
Like, it doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. And if you find yourself getting in that place where you're feeling like you're not where you should be or you should have manifested something by now, then you just go back into the being place of all is well, period. You don't have to make yourself feel good about that topic. Just come back to the general all is well.
How do I want to feel right now? That's all it's about. So this is going to be a week of couch potato. Actually, not really. More of a focus in your now moment rather than about anything else.
A great structure for that is if you want to make a post-it note or two or three or ten about breathing, you know, just constantly centering yourself with breath, being in the now moment, bringing yourself to present. Whenever you think about it, just getting yourself aligned, just not for the intention of getting anything, but just to feel good.
I find that really, really useful, Gina, just the breathing, particularly with a little short burst of yoga or something like that, if that's what I'm inspired to do.
Mm-hmm.
The breathing is really very good.
Breathing is a great thing, and if you need to take chill-out pills from reality, walking's great, or getting out in nature is a big thing I'm going to suggest, although that's doing something, but I would use it as a structure to help me get into the now, the beingness, because nature's a great way for you to remember that you're not alone. There's this whole great, big, beautiful universe out here, and it's also a change if you find yourself getting stuck in something or just really wanting something really bad, you're attached, or even if you have an aversion. Getting out of the space you're in, I mean, the actual environment, is a great way to change up your feelings, too, if you've ever noticed. That's probably why when people love nature so much is because it connects them back to source, and you don't have to try to do it. It just happens. I think that's something that beautiful views do, or when you're looking up into the sky. Why do so many people love looking at stars? It's like it reminds you that you've got the whole big, great universe out there. You're not alone. So, King Pat, are you here?
Yes, still here.
Now, how are you feeling all about all this?
I'd say pretty much the same place. I've done a lot of writing, mainly in the last week or so. I don't know if I could treat that as my extreme inspired action or if I haven't really come up with that extreme action yet, but I do notice, again, with the shifts with writing, like I expect, you know, some of the things that we had talked about in the last couple classes, and just the writing of those things out as they are definitely coming or whatever, and I can feel that internal shift, and it's just a matter of keeping that energy going, I think, with regular life, because and everybody around us isn't in the same place that our group is either, so.
So one of the things that you can do is, you know, how am I going to remember, how am I going to lock this in, this learning or this knowing, that how do I stay with this? All you need to do is make the assumption that you'll continue on without even trying. The writing's been great, and it's helped you to focus. Just make a conscious choice to stay in this place, even if you don't write. No matter who's around you, your first and only main concern is to really be connected to yourself and feel a sense of peace. By the way, we always talk about fun and joy. Eve and I are pretty high energy, and our joy might look completely different than your joy. Your joy might be at a place where, you know, I just feel good. Whew, let me just kick my feet up on a chair, and that feels good. And that's the same for us, too. I just want to put a little reminder in there. To be aligned doesn't mean that you're totally jazzed out of your mind and you can't wait. You feel so inspired. This might be like, oh, you know, I feel good right now. This feels good.
Peace. You know, that just being at peace and striving to be at peace at any given moment, no matter what's going on around you, and particularly when you're around those that aren't at the understanding or the level that we are about how this thing all works. It's amping it up to a whole different level of centeredness and groundedness where you are rock solid regardless of what else is going on around you. I don't know if any of you got the book Absolutely Effortless Prosperity by Bijan, but that's a great book for spending time getting into that grounded, peaceful place. And he has a lesson every day that you just focus on. But the bottom line is to really bring yourself back to being at peace.
You know, in regards to having people in your environment who aren't necessarily in the same line of thinking around the laws of attraction, I know that one of the things that hooks me, gets my little gremlin going, is when I'm experiencing someone like that, especially if I know it's someone who actually does know the laws of attraction, they're just not using it. My tendency is to want to change their mind. You know, like change their mind about whatever negativity they're in. Like show them the way. And if I'm listening to them and it's especially not an appropriate place to do that, even if I, you know, if I can get myself in a place of non-attachment when I'm offering up the whatever I have to say, that's one thing. And sometimes it's just straight up, it's not the appropriate time to do it. Like I just can sense if I said or did anything, even if I was aligned, it wouldn't be well received. They're not in a place to hear it. So I just have to remember, I'll listen to them and I'll just sort of check out. Like, it doesn't even enter my mind. I can just be with them and just, like, love them for whatever place they're in. Even if they are going to the depths of all the bad things that are going to happen or could happen, it's just gently knowing that they'll find their way and it's not my job to change them. I don't need to let it enter my space. Because sometimes the things that people say, they'll trigger your gremlins, and that's why we're resisting. They're hitting on something that we're trying to get away from. Let's say someone's talking about their fear about how bad the economy is, and they're really scared that they have financial problems, and you're listening to them and you're feeling yourself go down the tubes. It's not because this person's negative. It's because you already have that vibration in you and they're just lighting it up. It's a place where you're still not feeling aligned, so they're pushing your button. And instead of getting frustrated or letting it take you down the tube, what you might want to just notice is, why am I reacting this way? Is there some truth I actually can relate to something that they're saying? What is that about me? Okay, now that I know what it is, what's my intention around that? What do I want to do? Or how do I want to be? What do you find is the biggest hook for you, Mr. Pat?
I think you really touched on it now where you said,
not necessarily in that fix-it mode, but like an experience of mine recently was someone that I'm really close to was going, she's been trying to get into law enforcement. It's just something that she's really, really dreamed about, and she's been very stubborn. She's stuck in a job that she doesn't like. She went through a couple of interviews recently, where the day before the interview was just totally up, eating and expecting the best, always looking for the best, and that's where I'm always at with everybody now, especially for myself, too, going through this process and through the course and stuff. And then the next day, it totally went downhill for her because the opportunity turned out to be different.
And what's your reaction to all that? Like, what's the hook for you?
Why stay in the sucky place and keep talking about how it is and that it's never going to happen? And it really got on that case that day, and she was like, don't give me that stuff about things happen for a reason. Don't give me this. Don't give me that. So then I stepped away because I needed to, because even though I know that it's going to happen for a reason, she...
Right.
And out, it wasn't the time or the place to say or to try to fix it.
Oh, you want me to give you a coaching tip?
Sure.
It works really well whether you're a coach or not. We all do some sort of coaching, especially when we're all on this path that we're doing. When we're with people, of course, we want to empower them. It feels good. We feel good, and we want them to feel good. So one way when you're noticing someone's just on and on and on about how terrible it is, you should not let anybody go on longer than 3 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And when that point comes, you simply ask the question, so, do you want to vent right now? Do you want to be stuck? Or do you want me to support you? Like, what are you wanting right now? And then you can just state whatever it is that you're feeling. Like, I'm feeling like I'm noticing that you're being really doom and gloom right now, or you're going to say it in your own terms. You're being really negative right now, and I know that you're a powerful person, and I want to help you feel better about this. What do you want right now from me? Sometimes if you just say, do you want to be stuck? Do you want to be pissed off about this? Some people might say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay. And then what happens is they might say a few more things with an exclamation point behind them, and then they'll be off it because they actually know now they're clear on what they're talking about, and you've just given them permission, so then there's no resistance. They can get off it.
Mm.
Or they might say, I don't know what I want. And you'll say, well, change the topic because I see that you're getting more flustered as you talk about it. Or let's go do something else. What do you want? You know, like, how about we do this? And that way you're speaking to what's bugging you too, because you're feeling all this stuff, right?
Right, and I think I definitely stepped into that place because right away, similar to what you just said, I threw right at her point blank. I'm like, so do you want to give up? Are you going to just give up and throw it in then, just because another opportunity has come, or because, and literally there are factors, the reason why things aren't working out, other than obviously law of attraction.
But do you hear in the way that you put it, you still have an agenda behind it?
Uh-huh.
You're still have an agenda behind the way that you were saying it. When you're asking them really what they want, you're actually giving them permission, like it is okay to be stuck.
Right.
Most of the time, we don't let people be where they're at. Really, from a conscious place. You know how we've told, you know, we've done a lot of coaching with you all in this group about being in full permission around anger or frustration, because it's actually a quicker way to get through something.
It's when we're trying to explain to them, well, the reason you're here is, and they haven't asked for it, they can't hear it. If they aren't asking why, or they, you know, you're sort of, I want to say you're asserting into their experience, which there's not really any of that in the scheme of things, but it's like, if I haven't asked, you know, don't try to tell me, because I'm not open to hearing it. And that's where it feels like this person is.
And what you're also doing, when you haven't asked permission, usually we're resisting right back.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you're at doesn't feel good to me, so I need to change you.
Well, Gina?
Yeah?
What if they do want to stay stuck, and they want to stay in a negative space? You don't have a charge on it, but it's just simply not something you want to spend a half an hour on.
I'm glad you said that. It was the next place I was going to go, which is, you know what, I totally get where you're at, and I'll get down if I'm staying around you, or whatever your truth is, and you tell them what you're going to go do. You know what, I'm in the place where I want to go have fun right now, so I'm going to go to the movies. Call me later if you need me.
Even living under the same roof, and say, you know what, this doesn't feel good to me right now, and it feels like it's not serving, so I'm going to leave. I'll be back. I love you, and right now I need to leave.
I have a favor. Gina, would you say all those the different phrases that you said? Those were so wonderful, and I'm writing them down.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you want to vent?
Yeah,
do you want to stay stuck?
or do you want some support?
Okay.
Or do you want to focus on solution is another one.
Michael Lozier's book has a great thing in it. He says, if a person doesn't ask the question, they can't hear the answer.
Yep.
The other thing about venting, and this is a rule that, you know, we make with our clients all the time, but I noticed it works really well with friends, but you have to teach people what venting really is and why venting works. Because venting works, by the way.
Sure does. I'm in step one, and I'm going to stay
betcha.
In step one for as long as I choose to be in step one. Leave me alone.
So venting looks like, I'll give you a time limit. Here, I'll give you, 5 minutes. Go. And at the end of the 5 minutes, we're either going to stop talking about this or we're going to focus on what you do want. And I'll help you create solution, but I want you to get out whatever you need to get out and complain and be pissed off. And I'll usually ask the person, how long do you want to do it for? We'll time it.
By the way, that puts a little lightness on it. A lot of times when you say, oh, yeah, I see you're really frustrated. You really want to vent right now? Yeah, okay, good. Okay, how long do you want to go? Oh, okay, 10 minutes. All right, go. And it just sort of dissipates it a lot when people do that. And they also get to get it out. And it ends up a lot of times giggling and laughing by the time it's over, even if most of the time they won't even go that long.
What you've also done, not on purpose, but subtly, you've made them aware of what they're doing.
Yes.
So they start listening to themselves. And I know I do this. And when anybody is in that place where they're charged, they start repeating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really mad because they didn't do what I wanted them to do. And I'm just really mad. And they it gets like a broken record. And pretty soon they're like, you know what? I'm tired of myself.
another trick, at least in the coaching world, if they're friends of yours that call you, you can set this up too. And it's like, you know, if you ever need to clear, you call. And I don't care if I'm not on the phone or not. You'll get my answering machine. And I want you to say anything and everything. Scream, rant, rave. Use all the language you want to. You just spit it out. And it's hilarious. I mean, it's cheap entertainment for me.
Better than Netflix?
It works. And once again, they end up laughing before it's all over with.
The other thing to know about venting is, as the listener, you don't say anything.
Yes.
You just let them go. You're not, you can nod your head and go, yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, and just nod and encourage because you're acknowledging, yes, I'm hear you and I understand. But you're not trying to fix and you're not trying to get them out of it at that point. You're just simply being a sounding board. Even if what they're saying is so completely outrageous. I mean, I know I've even, had to stifle giggles before, and sometimes I don't stifle them very well. Because, sometimes what we say in a rage is just completely so unlogical. Listening to someone and letting them go on and on and on actually is never of service, really, for them, unless if they're resisting, you can't be of service. But because what happens is when you are not conscious that you're just venting and you just keep complaining, what happens is you start going down the tube. One negative thought leads to another because you're negatively focused. You can't help it. And then pretty soon things get bigger and you'll know, I know I've listened to people so many times where they might be talking about something that happened a year ago, but they still have a charge on it, and they will start feeling the same feelings as if it just happened. You know, you can do the same thing about, I know when I talk about Italy, I just get so excited because I had so much joy there, but, it's the same for negative if you still have a charge on it, and then it gets them even worse because the longer they talk about it, now they are so down and they have all their emotions lined up with it. They're seriously stuck.
I like that. You can just say, okay, now we know what you don't want. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Great line.
Yes.
Also, we need permission to do this. This isn't like something we do to people.
You have to ask.
Yeah.
You want a vent? Sure. All right. Let's just go 10 minutes, and then let's talk about solution for you. Or if you don't want to talk about it anymore, that's fine, too. I notice that if you keep talking about it in the way that you are, I don't think it's helpful for you. I mean, that's the way to do it. I do it with friends.
I think in this situation, too, the thing that I noticed in stepping back, because really I did kind of say, I didn't put a time limit on the venting or whatever, but I went right away to, okay, so what's the solution? Let's talk about something, calmly or whatever, and she countered right back with this and that, and, just really venting on that more than just that one time, because this has been going on for a while. When I try to shift to the place of, okay, what do you want, I notice that she's stuck on, I know what I want, but it's not here. No, and she literally hashes out the facts of why she's not in the job, which are circumstances beyond her control, whether it's, you know, people recruiting and all these other things, which you can't control that either. But
you want to hear a great technique? You know, besides all the other things we said, my brother is awesome at this. I remember one time he and his fiance were, I don't know, she was going off about something, and I think it might have been even at him. And he's very mellow. He just, he'll just look and nod his head, and she might just be completely off her rocker about whatever she's saying. He's just going, all right then. And right in the middle, he'll go, want a banana?
Cut the cord.
Off base. It's so, huh. All right, how do you respond to that? You laugh. Or like, what? What are you talking about? But it breaks it up, so now there's an opening.
I've seen that when somebody's really crying, where somebody would bring them like a Kleenex and then blow their own nose on it rather than give it to them. It's just totally unexpected.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my, that is hysterical. But the one thing to remember is it's not your job to fix anybody. It's just not. If it's not wanted, you'll be resisted. So the main thing is you know,
allow
them to be where they're at. And your job is just to take care of yourself. And if it's removing yourself from the environment, do that. It's not your job. It's not your job to take care of anybody. Anybody. Even your kids, really, in their heart of hearts, knew what's best for them.
You know, a question here. If we're really allowing the other person, then that's what all this stuff does, is allow. And whatever fashion that takes or form, as long as we're allowing the other person, allowing them to be where they are, allowing them, just allowing them, then it doesn't really matter what we do, does it?
Well, it does if they're in my space.
No, then
you can allow your ass right out of here.
Allow it. It doesn't. If you allow them to be there, it doesn't bother you. And you're either free to leave or you're free not to leave. It doesn't make any difference to you.
If you're in a place of allowing and you're in your centered place, you're not going to attract people that would be in your space.
Ah.
In other words, or if it's there, you would attract them right out of the space.
Or here's another way that it happens. If you're allowing, and this is, I've used the example a million times, but it just always blows me away. I remember one time I was on the phone with Eva, and I said, you know, I'm sorry I'm being a bitch. And she said, What are you talking about? I said, I'm being just totally grumpy. And she said, no, you're not. I didn't notice. Because she was in such a great place. It didn't even impact her at all.
That's what you were feeling. It wasn't me.
Yeah. If you're truly allowing, people won't come into your space with any crap, or if they do, you won't even be fazed by it. It's the same as if you're in an environment. You could be, for instance, I went out on a Friday night, and I was with two guy friends, and then we went to a place and we were eating, and I noticed there was a woman by herself off to the right of us, and I started talking to her, and then it kind of was a mutual thing, like, hey, why don't you come over to our table? You know, she's in town in San Francisco alone. So she comes over to our table. Well, I'm a coach, and I pick up on different things, and I start noticing how insecure she is. And she's just downing herself and beating up on herself, and it's driving me nuts. I just, you know, I'm just so, like, it's hooking me like nobody's business. I'm like, come on, sister, you are great. Shut up. And we leave, and we're going somewhere else, and I didn't even say anything. I'm just feeling this. And the other guy that's with us is like, I just love her. Isn't she so great? I'm like, oh, don't say anything, Gina. But it's that same thing. I mean, he was in a happy, joyful place. He was so excited to be with us, and he just thought that she was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in a connected place, it's a different experience. You won't have resistance. It won't even occur to you to fix anything because nothing will feel wrong.
Wow, I love that.
It's like Robin saying, I notice that if you're focused on something or you're worried or whatever it might be, and I come home and maybe he's not feeling so good, he notices that I sort of take him like, oh, why, you're just taking me down. Like, what'd I do, man? And other times I'll be like so happy about something coming on, and he'll come home absolutely devastated, and I run in and I kiss him, and I'm, it's a 5 grand. He's going, he's like, I don't even faze you then. Mm-hmm. You don't even know.
Pat?
Yes?
I feel like you're like, I don't know, you're getting all this stuff, but the other thing I think is the most important thing is taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
She's doing whatever she's doing, however she's doing. I can just imagine what she's bringing up. But what's important is you take care of yourself, and sometimes there are some of us who believe our job is to take care of everybody around us. So you might want to relook at that situation and figure out for yourself what works.
That's great.
Sing a song, you know, leave, whatever. You could use that stuff for a song, maybe.
For what? He could use all that.
My woman wants to shoot a gun or something. I don't know.
Oh, a song.
A new song. Tell me more about how bad it is. I don't know.
It's a good country song. So we have about 5 minutes left. Does anybody need anything else?
This is Mary. I want to share something. This is so cool. Well, sort of cool. But where I am about it is cool. So last Wednesday night, I went to an arbitration with a mechanic who had done some work on my car. Or didn't, or whatever.
It sounds like a sitcom.
It is.
Where's Maura?
And so, you might use this for your routine. So I went to that, and when this first started, I was really hooked by this, right? And by the time I got to the arbitration, I said, you know, I'm going to go do this. And in the arbitration, I asked for more than I did in the mediation. And so I went there, I did it. And we left, and the guy was really agitated. And so when we left, he got to the elevator. We got to the elevator, and I thought, I am not going to go down with him, right? I'm not going in the same elevator. So I let him go, and then I went down, and then I had the security guard walk me to my car. Well, while I was there at the mediation, and this is a building, you know, a parking garage by the building, my car got keyed. It has these huge scratches on it.
Oh.
And so first I was a little hooked, right? And then I was like, this happened. I went to arbitration. Whatever the decision is fine with me. My car got keyed. That's going to have to get taken care of. I'd read this thing about when something happens to you, you just, like, release it, and just, like, you get rewarded double-fold for things that happen to you, right? And I just sort of did that, and I'm just like, okay, this is just what happened, and the way it turns out is the way it turns out. Everything is fine. When I first started that whole thing, you know, I was really hooked. And I'm just not now. And I haven't gotten a decision on it yet. Don't know how it went. And I'm complete about it.
That's a powerful place to be, Mary, because you've removed yourself from it. You're not in the attachment of it.
Yeah.
It's what is what is. And from that place, without that high charge, you're not going to get back repercussions that would have be equivalent of having a high charge on it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that might be.
Now, it did occur to me that I probably attracted the keying.
Well, of course you did.
probably. I mean, real specifically, probably. You know, as I'm going there, I'm thinking, I hate to leave my car exposed
while I go fight about something about my car.
That's right.
Hello.
So, and I thought, what if he tries to damage my car? And when I got home, I said, I need to go check my car to see if it got damaged.
So there's two things I want to point out here. You're fighting against something. So guess what? When you have a charge on that, when you're fighting against anything,
mm-hmm.
it only deepens and widens and expands the vibration of the very thing that you're fighting against
right.
is what you attract more of.
Right.
The second thing is that, and I know because I've been in this situation before, even on the car team, there's part of, okay, I'm a match to that because that's where I'm vibrating. The second part of it is there's a intuition about I need to take care of something and then not doing it. If you don't feel safe doing something, I'm saying this aloud to myself as well, when you don't feel safe doing something, really take care of it. Even if you think that's silly,
yeah.
I know the laws of attraction, it'll be fine. When you have the urge to do it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever y'all need to do for backup, whether it's just backing up your computer system or you're not feeling safe about something. Somebody asked me something last night. a certain person wanted to take their child with their child somewhere. She goes, Gina, do you think that person's safe? And I said, you know, I've always seen him great with kids. I think he's fine. How do you feel? She goes, I just would feel awful if anything happened that I kind of had an intuitive hit and then I still let my child go with him. I said, then I don't care how safe he is, don't do it. Because we're having these hits all the time, just
you
honor
know,
them.
The biggest thing, too, is how we trip ourselves up is we will say something like, I know the laws of attraction, I don't need to. And it's the fact that you do know laws of attraction to listen to it. We did the exact opposite of what we ought to be doing. And it's no, I understand this and I'm getting a hit, which tells me I do need to do something to bridge the gap.
And I'll tell you from experience, I'm probably queen at saying, oh, it'll be fine. And then later to go, Eva, I did it again.
Like inviting people over to the table.
It'll be fine.
All right. Really enjoy yourself this week because there's nothing for you to do.
So it's a being bag, not a bean bag, right?
That's right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Go forth and be.
Bye.